Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness and what we're becoming as evolving human beings. How does that look? What does the future look like for us? And how is that going to shape up in technology, in the spiritual traditions, in a way a universe is unfolding into the unknown, and we are here to meet its new awakening? That's sort of what came to me just now. But I am here in my studio with a co-host for tonight, Jolene Starr.
Hello.
And Jolene is an artist. She's a visionary. She's a craftsperson. She's a wise woman. And she's about evolving the future with us. So how would you describe yourself?
I think I would describe myself as a rainbow, sparkling traveler of time and space.
Okay, I'm not sure what that actually all means.
Well, you know, but it, well, I guess it would mean what it means to you, but that it would mean to whoever's listening, whatever they would like
what
to
What does it mean to you?
It means to me that here I am again, one more time, one more go around at it.
What do you think the future looks like?
I think the future is really yet to be determined. We're sitting on the brink of it right now. What would it look like for me?
What would you like it to look like? Yes.
I would like it to be a bit more harmonious than what we're experiencing right now. And, you know, people really creating something completely new that we've never seen before.
Uh-huh. Wait, I'm just saying. Doug, bring in the guest. There's another guest coming in at 10:05. So just to let you know. So tell me again what you think the ideal future looks like for the planet.
Really, truly, I think that it's a complete overhaul on an environmental level. I think on a cosmic level, consciously, a new evolution of our consciousness, maybe really stepping outside of what it means to be human and really tapping a little bit more into what it means to be part of the energy that we really are.
That's interesting because I think that is part of our evolution. We've been trapped, not so much in the human part, because I think we haven't even allowed ourselves to experience everything it is that we are as humans. But we've been trapped by the social fabric, the social restraints. We've been living a certain way.
For sure. But I think that we are starting to step outside of that just a bit because we realize that none of it really works anymore.
It doesn't work.
At all across the board.
It's gotten us this far, which was not bad.
I think it still actually works for a lot of people. But the problem is that is becoming a little outdated at this point.
Yeah. And maybe it doesn't really. It looks like it works. They have nice homes. They have nice houses, cars. But, you know, if you watch the movie The Big Short, did you see that movie, The Big Short?
I didn't see that movie.
That's about the illusion of the American dream. It's like it's a fabrication. I just saw another movie about vaccinations, how they cause autism. It's called Vaxxed. And it's about the lie the pharmaceuticals tell, because they don't want to stop selling their pharmaceuticals. So they tell people this stuff is all right. And it's not. 1 out of 50 children are autistic or from these vaccinations. Mm-hmm. So that's
I see it all the time in my store.
Yes, you see. What do you see?
I do. I see a lot.
Well, tell us about your store, though. Also,
well, I was going to say I see a lot of cases of autism
in your store, but it's not a store for autism.
It is not. No, it's a store. It's a store where people come and they create intentional jewelry, intentional meaning around anything that they're making, and they wear it, and they create mantras for their meditation practice and malas so that they can actually keep track of how they're. You know, how deep they're going. I just want to say something to you, Alan, though. It's very, very interesting that you know, talking about what we were talking about earlier tonight, just about the meaning, what people created reality around meaning, and what is their real meaning here? It's been money, capitalism, money and capitalism together, right?
Right.
Like big business.
Right.
It's been I wouldn't say like a small life, but, you know, having a child, getting married.
Sort of what people have told.
Yes.
Right. But, no,
but
that's
now we're moving into something much bigger.
And actually, the woman we're going to be talking to, Yao Wang, is created an amazing event about the future. And that's really the focus.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. So do you want to bring her in, Doug? The guest, tonight's guest, I'm here with Jolene Starr, my co-host for the evening, and I'm going to be talking to Yao Wang, who's created an amazing event for the Tribeca Film Festival called The Day of Imagination, and I'd like her to talk about that and go over how she sees the future, how she was able to pull this together, and I think it's really going to be a very interesting show because of the people she's arranged to be at this day-long seminar on April 19th at the Tribeca Film Festival. It looks like you can still get tickets if you go to tribecafilm.com/festival/imagination. So, Don, are we there in the studio? Do we have, oh, she's on line one. Okay, Yao, are you with us?
Yep, hi.
Oh, okay, thanks for being here tonight. We'll talk about this big event you've put together, right? That's the focus of tonight's show, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, indeed.
Well, it's very exciting. I'm here with a co-host, Jolene, and we want to go through the whole thing. But can you tell me a little bit about yourself first?
Sure. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've been building companies for the last 15 years. We founded The Hatchery, which is an innovation lab in New York. Been around for about the last 9 years and have been working with large corporate groups to build new startups with them. So it's been really fun.
So how did this day come about, this imagination, because everyone you have at this event is really bringing in a future technology. So tell me how you created this.
Sure. So was a brainchild between myself and the folks at Tribeca Film Festival. We wanted to bring more tech into a traditionally film-oriented gathering. And so I thought, why not bring technology from the film perspective? And so where have you seen a lot of tech in film? Science fiction, right? Flying cars, hyperdrive, even the Matrix, plugging your head into a big computer system. You know, these things seem almost unreal. And I said, you know what? These things are real. Let me show you the scientist who's working on this. Let me show you the company or labs that are coming up with this stuff, and you can literally play with it and hold it. So there is a flying car in actually not far from here in Boston, and they'll be ready and launched in a few years. There's 3D printed food. There's people working on making you live to 1,000 years old. They could print your organs. These things sound all ridiculous, but
interesting. What do you say?
It's so interesting.
Well, it's real. You're saying
it's a reality.
It's all real.
So you can 3D print your organs. Is that true?
There are people working on 3D printed body parts and organs. Yes.
So and you can 3D print your food.
For the future, think about it. A few years from now, it's not even that far. So most of this product is all these products are within reach of a small group of people, right? People who are experts and working on this. Maybe people who are invested in this. Maybe the first few beta testers, but 3D printed food will be available to us in the next few years where, like we have a microwave in our kitchen, we will have a 3D printed food machine where it'll just print you what you want.
Wait,
and all the nutrients will be inside.
It.
Yeah.
You can eat it, you say.
You can eat it and consume this food.
We had this at our event last year.
Wait, but what will the food... But you need to 3D print anything. You need, like, a substance that will... Do you 3D print from?
The majority of food comes from a powder format. All you have to do is add water.
And can you make it taste like...
Can you make it taste like pizza?
Or?
Well, it's not everything in the format. You're like, it's not going to be a steak. Food is just a substance that you put in your mouth that allows you to live, that has taste, that has nutrients. 3D printed food could bring a lot of options to third world countries. It can allow you to prepare meals for your grandmother far, far away in the morning, and it'd be timed and set. You can email it to her, right?
Email food to my grandmother? That's amazing.
Yeah.
How exactly does... I'm not understanding where the emailing comes into place with creating the food.
you email. So computers, electronics, devices are all connected by the internet, and it's just data, right? I could 3D print a toy in China from my house in New Jersey, right? I send instructions over, the computer turns on, and off it goes. Food machines are the same way.
Right, so my grandmother has to have a 3D food printer in her place, but then I can prepare the menu.
Send instructions through the phone or, you know, the internet, essentially.
Are they actually expecting or projecting that, like, most households would have a 3D microwave printing oven?
Well, it's not an oven. It's just a machine.
Okay. It's a printer.
They say the next 5 years. So what most people don't understand is that technology is moving so fast right now that in the next 1 year, 2 years, 3, 5 years, it's going to be, you won't even recognize.
What do you see? Well, can you lay it out for us? Like, what does, let's go 5 years because, what do you see, like, different in, you know, the normal household that's not there right now?
The television experience and entertainment can be very, very different with virtual reality. The first sets of virtual reality headsets are coming out, but they've been working on this for a long time. Where that's going to go, holograms, I don't have to fly to China to have a meeting. He can stand right in front of me.
It'll be 3D projection as if they're there, that person.
Holograms.
Yeah.
Things like that are very possible. So... Well, there's going to be price limitations, so define everyone, right? Everyone don't even have water or food at this point in this world.
Right. But everyone has an iPhone.
Not everyone has an iPhone. Some people have $200 phones and Androids, and not everyone has a PlayStation, but it's going to become more mainstream, accessible by certain people. And as these technologies increase and become more widespread, the price will also start to drop. But the entertainment center in your house will change. The flat screen that you have is so ancient.
And I just got a flat screen last year. I threw out my tubes.
Think about it. What if I told you I can give you, I can make you feel a movie? I can transport you with empathy.
I think pornography will go up if that's the case.
Well, that's really funny because this whole virtual reality space has pushed really quickly in the pornography sector.
Right. It's the next best thing to being there.
But what is that going to do for human connection? I mean, this focus
in
on
some cases,
new technologies, it really takes us away from human connection in so many ways.
Well, yes and no. In some cases, make them closer. In some cases, it depends on how you use it. So virtual reality, for example, is utilized right now in giving. So they did a whole piece on the Clinton Foundation's efforts in Africa. And if I make you really feel this African mother and her strife and the poverty that's there, will you give? Will you change the way you think and love and consider about other people? Maybe. At the same time, there's a negative aspect, which is if men all drive to virtual reality pornography, will they just not think about real women anymore, right?
I think
going to say maybe yes.
No, because I think people are missing relationship. And I think if you could see your loved one 3D right in front of you, that's a better connection than just talking on the phone. You could see their expression. I mean, you could do that on Skype, but I think it's a plus in the long. I mean, it's technology. It's part of our future. We have to embrace it. It's up to each one of us about how we use it, but it's important that we have it. That's what I feel.
So one thing we're doing at the event is that we're going to put 500 headsets on the entire audience. It's the largest activation at Tribeca. And everyone's going to see and hear a speaker in front of them, and then they're going to feel this entire experience when they put the headsets on.
How does that work? How do they actually feel it in the body with the headset?
Because when you put this headset on, you are literally transported to this place. You look up, you look down, you look around. you will feel like you are wherever we would just put you. To the point where they've done these things where they'll put someone, let's say, on the top of a skyscraper and say, walk across the edge of this building. And you'll see these people with the headsets on. They know they're in a room with a flat floor, but they start to crouch. They feel like they're going to fall over. And they literally feel like they're on top of a skyscraper and they're afraid of falling over.
Wow.
Or that transport you into the ocean. I transport you to Mars. You literally feel different. That's the power of virtual reality. It transcends just what you see. You will feel. And this is where the power of that technology sits. For entertainment, for communication. Microsoft came out with the HoloLens, which is a little bit more advanced. There's
what
new
is that?
Technology where you can actually touch the world you're in. So you can see displays in front of you and you can touch it, interact with it. But they're not really there, but they activate. It's like taking the internet to a whole nother level.
I am so happy you brought this day of truly this is our future. It's what people have always dreamed of. I mean, this is the
this is our brainchild. And I thought, like, you know, let's take tech to a whole nother level. You haven't heard of these things. There's a lot of people who haven't either. And this kind of opens their mind to a world that's changing right before their eyes, but they're not seeing it because it's maybe not part of their day-to-day.
I did watch a really short video the other day online of it was something very similar to this. The man brought his daughter into the room. She was like in a different state somewhere, and he put the glasses on, and she had them on, and she came in the room, and she was walking around him in the same way, in three-dimensional form, walking around him, picking up the toys, touching the toys the same way, right in front of him. And it was literally like he was spending time and hanging out with her in the room. She was a 3-year-old little girl, and it was pretty incredible to watch.
Well, but you know what?
Go ahead.
No, what were you saying?
I was going to say what was your previous question. So, you know all those wires in your room, especially the one behind my television, those like plugs and wires flowing everywhere?
And the ones all over my floor,
right? Plugs and those ties. What if I told you no more wires? You can actually power all your devices wirelessly.
Well, this is what Tesla actually invented in the 30s, supposedly. He had wireless electricity. But it was, anyway, but that's what the future is.
That's coming. And that's going to only grow and advance. There's talks of putting them in every Starbucks already. So
every what?
Before you know it, you'll walk around and you'll have more and more places where these things will infiltrate, and slowly but surely your world will change.
What will they put in Starbucks?
You walk in, your phone's charging.
Oh.
You don't need that adapter anymore.
Invisible rays doing to the human electrical field, like some people think the radiation from cell phones. I mean, that is just something to look into, you know? I mean,
that's
pretty safe. Any thought about that? I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. I think it's great. But, no, you're saying some amazing things, and I know we'll be there in just a few years where this will seem so primitive, this sort of communication. It'll be like talking with smoke signals or something. But what I think is really exciting is the entertainment value, because imagine having a virtual reality headset and making a movie specifically in 3D surround, so you're actually not watching it, you're in it. Have people thought about that? I'm sure they have.
Exactly. Do you even need a TV anymore? Everyone just puts headsets on. These devices will get smaller. And it'll change the way you interact with people, the way you experience these movies. You could be in... Oh, have you seen the latest Cirque du Soleil in virtual reality?
No.
You're literally on stage, and they're performing above you.
You think, really?
So instead of sitting in the audience, what if I told you you can sit in the middle of the stage? You can't physically do that, but now you can.
Wow. So everything... I wonder what this reorientation is doing to the way we're thinking, how it's changing the way we participate with each other. Have people thought about that?
I mean, that's a whole nother level. I think humankind needs to advance with just being more caring. And I do feel that the new generation is considering that a lot more, less selfish. But this is a human evolution that has to happen. This is has nothing to do with tech. I think as people become better, more considerate, regardless of what happens with the new things that are coming out, they'll adapt appropriately.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great way of putting it. But let's go through the day. First, are there any tickets left if people want to buy some tickets?
I believe we're sold out.
Really?
Sorry. There might be some more released in next week. We're checking to see if there's another block.
Okay.
They'll be released to the wait list.
Okay. But I wanted to go through the day and how you've had it. This is your event, right? You got all the people to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find these people, first of all?
So this is an area I'm pretty much, I live in. So I'm constantly on top of what's happening in the latest trends in technology, who's working on what. There are people working on humanoid robots. I would love to put one on stage to give a talk and then tell you this was a robot after the fact. You know,
But
those are people I'm dealing with. And it's not what the normal person on the street deals with. And so I just reach out to people I know. I invite them. Maybe I read about something interesting and I just reach out. I have pretty good access to most of the CEOs and founders of these kinds of innovations. And we curate things that would really make the audience go, wow. If you don't go, wow, I didn't do my job.
Wow. She's a wow here.
I already got a wow.
So I'm just interested in how you structure the day. So the opening remark, it starts at 10:30. Jason Kelly from Bloomberg. Who's he?
So Bloomberg's one of the sponsors for the event. And so there's different divisions in Bloomberg coming down to share their visions around innovation. Then we have Brian Johnson coming, who's from the OS Fund. They're doing some amazing things from genetics to life creation to extension of life, very more human biology components. We've got Regina Dugan from ex-DARPA days. She's working on a lot of great secret projects at Google.
Regina Dugan from the defense. She was working for the government.
She was a former director of DARPA. So think of all the great projects that come from that organization. Very well known for that. And then she was recruited by Google to do some amazing things, very futuristic kind of projects. Mm-hmm. We've got James Canton, who's a futurist.
Yeah, talk about that, the extreme future of medicine and then the prediction for longevity. What is he going to be actually talking about?
There's a lot of technologies that can really make us live longer. I'm going to wait to see what he's got to say, but what if I told you these two things? What if I told you I can make your organs reverse the aging cycle?
I would say, let's do it.
What if I told you I can help you live to 1,000 years old?
I would say I would ready, even without cosmetic surgery.
So, you know, I'm not going to...
But this is amazing. I think what you're saying, I mean, you're not saying it just to like play. These are things that people are actually working on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's very rare to have an event like this kind of technology.
Is this possible within the next 10 years? You're saying people living to 1,000 and reverse the age of their organs?
So organ reversal, that's been around for a while, aging that is. So even our own livers can regenerate. So it's about the regeneration process. Now, living to 1,000, it's not exactly living to 1,000 right away. It's that if I can make you live for another 25 years, and by the way, this is only for people who in the next 30 years will still be alive, naturally alive, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're going to be around for the next 30 years, and I can make you live another 25, just another 25.
Okay, how about, that sounds like a great deal. Okay, let's do it.
So I'm not that old, right? So I'm not going to die in the next 30 years. But if I'm still around, the technology will be around for me to live another 25 years on top of however old I'm supposed to live, right? So maybe I was naturally supposed to die at 100. Now I'll get to live to 125, let's just pretend, okay? By that time, 25 years later, there will be technology that will get me to live for another 50 years. And by that time, there'll be technology that gets me to live another 100 years. And by that time, so it just keeps leapfrogging.
What is the technology you're actually talking about? Are you talking about synthetic biology or are you talking about natural regeneration?
It's a combination of many things, some by parts, other more homogeneous. But this is very still future stuff. It's not completely developed yet. But if you're around in the next 30 years, you get to play with some of this. The question is, can everyone afford it?
Oh, I knew there was a catch. Well, I will, but why does it have to cost so much money? I guess they don't want everyone living
really?
For $1,000.
The Fountain of Youth should be $2.
Well, it should be free, actually.
Unlikely. Unlikely. Yeah.
But that means only those awful Wall Street executives who organized The Big Short would be, you know, living that long.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I think this is truly fascinating. What about, I don't see anything about the flying car. You said you have a flying car.
We did that last year. We did a flying car last year. It was really interesting because the way they thought about the flying car, it's not to make a car fly, but to make a plane drive. And most of the complexities is about the regulatory system for, you know, aviation. So FAA, if you decide to make this car go in the air, you have to abide by FAA regulations, right? If you decide to make your plane drive on the road, the DMV has some rules, you know, the police have some rules to follow. But more interestingly is the robotics and the machine learning and the automation involved in making that fly on its own and drive on its own. So you can actually get in the car, and then it will just fly from Boston to New York on its own without you touching it.
Right, and that's amazing. But they're also having self-driving cars as well. I guess that goes along with it, right?
And self-flying planes, and then it will dock and drive on its own, which will be amazing. You don't necessarily need to own this. You just be the Uber for...
Uber for a flying car to Boston. Sure.
Well, the car is going to be defined. The car is not the car you think it is.
Well, describe what the car would actually look like. Yeah.
You should go check it out. It's Terra Fugia. Let me see if I can pull up the link for you.
I'll look for it too. I have a friend, Jesse Marcel. Do you know Jesse Marcel III? He's developing another flying car.
There's several of them. There's some in Europe, some in Israel. It's not the only one.
What did you say the name of that website was?
TerraFugia. Check it out. They have a really nice picture of one on the website.
TerraFugia. And they do, so it's like a so these are like they don't need a long runway to take off, right? They just go.
Yeah.
This really is the future, this car. I recommend everyone go there.
And this is not even the latest. There's tons of people working on that. But, again, like I said, most people don't know about it.
No, most people don't know about it, but it's truly wow. So what do you think we have yet to imagine? Of course, it hasn't been imagined, but what do you dream of? Do you dream, like, of teleportation? Things like that? Is that something that you see in our future?
Maybe. I haven't seen that just yet. That has a lot more physics involved. What's interesting is the literature around self-propulsion, which could be used in space travel to get us from here to Mars much faster.
Actually, I talked to a guy who's working with a nanoscientist who's doing these things with carbon fibers. Have you heard about this? And something called the space drive. This guy you should have the show next year. He's developed a space drive. He said we can get to Mars in like 3 days with these carbon fibers.
So eventually, these things will happen. Some will take longer than others, but it's inevitable.
So what will civilization look like for us? Will people still have families? What's the social load?
Right. This is what I'm sitting here thinking this whole time.
What are you thinking?
I'm just wondering what the entire fabric of society will look like, and how will we get there, and what will we do with all the stuff we're disposing of?
Well, I don't know about that.
I mean, I'm just wondering.
Well, but
we get rid of all these cars. We have flying cars. Where
we get rid of all these computers, so too. And look, they're just sitting in lamp. But anyway, what were you saying, Yao?
I don't know. I don't know what it'll look like. I hope people will be kinder to each other. I hope people will wake up and utilize some of these new technologies and distributed models to be less wasteful. I hope the leaders that are running the countries and governments will be more thoughtful in the way they grow and the way that they utilize energy, these products. I hope that civilization will be less selfish. I hope these things. I don't know if mankind has that capacity, or maybe it'll just self-destruct.
Well, I think we do have the capacity. I think actually what I'm seeing from what you're presenting here, that these miracles, and they are sort of miracles, 3D printing food, so no one really has to go hungry. I mean, if you could do that for even homeless people, I think, and having free energy, of course, that's the zero-point energy effect, meaning that the electricity is everywhere. We just have to tap the energy in this cubic centimeter space and do away with fossil fuels. Of course, the oil companies, gas companies will be upset about that, but that has to be part of it. Do you get wind of that?
We'll see. Honestly, we'll see. Because the unpredictable component is what each individual will do and how they will respond. History says that man will kill each other.
No, that's just the past. No, I don't think that's our future. I think we're actually, there's a lot less, there's still a lot of wars and ridiculous things like that, but I think overall we're more civilized and more compassionate. That's what I feel. Don't you?
Not sure. No. We'll see.
You know, I'm curious too, like, about the humanity of the population. You say, how does technology make people more human or more, you keep saying that it'll open people up to being nicer and more genuine.
Well, she
more
hopes
kind.
They will. Yeah.
But how does technology do that? How would technology do that? Because it's making us connect quicker, or it's exposing us to more.
Well, I just think it's more abundance. I think if it's without counting the price of things, I think we could take care of a bigger population somehow. Don't you think that's part of that?
I don't know if technology can take care of a larger population. It might make things a little bit easier. It will require everyone to be more sharing.
Yeah.
You know, okay. The United States takes up most of the resources in this world. It could share more. Most of the technology will come from first world countries. They could share it more.
Well, tell me about your connection to Richard Branson. He's going to be at this event too. Well,
So he'll be giving a talk on his story, entrepreneurship, growing, innovation. He'll also be doing a private screening of his new documentary on adventure. And he's available at the end to speak with everyone.
Well, how did you connect with him?
Existing relationships.
Oh, you've had, yeah. I mean, he seems like truly an amazing person, very excited about everything. He's a role model for so many entrepreneurs. And he seems very humble as well.
You know, yes.
That's
yes,
my
absolutely.
But the other thing I want to talk to you about is the humans in the machine. Is it possible that virtual reality in its maturity may allow us to communicate and be creative in ways that are more sublime than even our greatest real life experiences? Can you explain what you mean by that?
So Philip Rosedale was the founder of Second Life. I don't know if you all remember that. That was this huge
It was like a virtual reality game. People would buy avatars and clothes. I had a friend who did.
You can build your own radio station inside, and people can walk around. But it was 2D. It was inside a computer, like a screen. Mm-hmm. Imagine that in now 3D. Imagine that with virtual reality headset, so that you can walk around instead of just tapping someone with your mouse. You can now engage fully as if you are in this world. And you can create in this world.
Wow. Some people say that's actually what this 3D world is about, that we're actually living in a virtual reality. But no, so that's going to be like a gaming type of future. It'll just, is that what you mean? Sort of like that?
It doesn't have to be gaming. Second Life was not gaming. Second Life, there were people who owned art galleries inside Second Life, showed off the art that was there. People would come to an art gallery, drink champagne, and look at the art in Second Life. They may decide to buy the art, and then the art would be shipped to their house in real life.
So they'd actually get a real painting or art physically.
Because I can't go to Shanghai, so I went to the art gallery inside a virtual world to go look at the art. It represented the real-life situation. And it was the curator who was inside the computer with me. And I got to meet everyone who were part of this network, by this artist, by the gallery owner. And I had an entire experience as if I was at the art gallery in Shanghai, but I'm here in New York.
Wow. But it does get a little scary at this 3D virtual level. I mean, because I could see like teenagers getting lost in that world and just wanting to live there. You know what I mean?
Hey, I mean, there's that extreme for almost everything.
Yes.
Right? There's teenagers now who can't live without their cell phones in front of their face.
Well, I can't live without my cell
phone. There's plenty of adults that would like to live in a 3D reality as well, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's all represents a really exciting future because, on the whole, it's about expanding the arts, the creative imagination. I think this is really why you've put this together, to show what the human imagination is not just capable of thinking, but of creating.
Yes, whatever can be imagined can be made. It's just a matter of time. And there are two kinds of people who've come up with these ideas. One who has come, maybe a writer, director, producer who made a movie. And back in the 60s and 70s, you thought, oh my goodness, you can tap this little device on your chest and talk to someone, and that's impossible back then. And now, our little Bluetooth headsets in our ears can do that, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are the other types, who are the scientists who can imagine something. You mentioned Tesla's technology. He imagined it. He made it. So both sides, they're imagining these things, and it's just a forum for people to realize they're here already.
This is a great thing to bring, well, not just to Tribeca, but I think you could go on the road with this, and just show this in every single city. It would be an incredible mission, in a sense, if that's what you wanted to do.
Oh, if anyone wants to get involved, give me a call.
Well, I definitely want to get involved. I definitely want to experience this and to go deeper into all these fields of study. I mean, the thing that I found out about teleportation, for instance, was that it's possible, you can't teleport objects just yet, but you can teleport the properties of objects. This is what one scientist said. So in effect, you're actually teleporting the object, but it's just the property of the object, which essentially is the object.
Right. So baby steps. And give it some time, and he'll make the next step and the next step. So literally anything is possible as long as you can think of it.
Right. And so what does the future then look like for you?
We build companies in partnership with corporations, and we try to innovate and in baby steps. Mostly what we work on is artificial intelligence, prediction technologies, natural language processing, machine learning. We're trying to utilize the power of machines to help businesses on a whole, get competitive, get an edge. And that's what we do day to day.
Well, let me ask you about that, because that's a question I sort of had an argument with someone about. Is it possible for a machine to have an original thought? I mean, I think that's what makes us different than machines, because we can program it. But what do you think about that?
Eventually, maybe more in the sense that you're thinking, but define original thought.
Well, usually creativity, when I'm writing or even drawing or taking a picture, it sort of comes out of nowhere. There's a spark of originality. It's like, wow, no one I know has thought this thought or written this. I mean, creative thought seems to come out of the ethers. It's not anything
I think it's too vague. I think your definition is a bit vague, because I'll tell you this, machines are writing music, original music.
How does
because
that
music
happen?
Essentially, because music is just a math formula.
Mm.
And there actually is a pattern of the kinds of chords that humans tend to resonate to. Mm. I think there was a YouTube video that of this band that was playing this one chord. I can't recall. But it's the popular chord in hundreds of songs. And every time these songs had these chords, they were somehow a hit. So they literally played the same exact pattern over and over and over again throughout all these songs. And there's this video just showing that off. And it's like, really? It's the same song done in a different beat. So you could use math and then therefore a machine and some engineering to create unique hits. And that's utilized by the music industry right now.
Wow. It's so great that you have devoted your energies to looking at the future. So what then comes next for you? I know you're an entrepreneur. You're the managing partner of the Hatchery. Actually, I also have to say you were recently named by Forbes as one of the 11 women at the center of New York's digital scene. That's pretty good. So
thank you. Yes.
What's next for you after, like, I know this is a lot to put together, but what do you see for your future? What's the future?
I think two things. I mean, in the immediate sense, it's just building more companies. We're going about it from a way that is a little different than the traditional investment model. So we tend to reverse engineer companies. We think we can get them to be profitable faster. We think we can get more exits and liquidity. They may not be billion-dollar companies, but maybe some 8 or 9-figure companies on a more regular basis.
What kind of companies are you talking about? Are you talking about just tech companies or anything?
Yeah, these are tech companies geared around big data, focused primarily with large corporations. So not a consumer product, but more enterprise-driven. And we hope to build more of these on a regular basis, scale to more countries and cities, and hopefully do this until there's no more time left.
What about time travel? Have they discovered that? I mean, have they looked into the physics of that kind of future?
I don't think so.
No, because I knew someone working for DARPA, the department, whatever that means, that government agency, and he was working on time physics. You know, so there are
sure someone will figure something out, but maybe we shouldn't be playing with that.
What about living on other planets? Is that something that you see the future possible happening?
Yes, that's probably very likely.
Like terraforming Mars as they do in Total Recall. Did you see that?
How long from now?
Yeah.
I don't know. If I knew all these things, exactly when and what, I'd probably be completely retired.
No. But I really want to know.
It would be no longer interesting. Yeah.
I love what you do know, and I love what you're bringing to the public. And also want to ask you, what is the state of virtual reality now? So you put on these. Can you describe that sort of technology as it exists today and what they think they'll do in the future?
So it is the hottest area right now in media, entertainment, advertising. Everyone is on top of this. And if they don't know their plan for this or are familiar with the technology, they will be behind. And it's essentially these goggles that you put on your head, and it brings the image very close to your eyes, and it's being shined into both eyes. And through the way that it's being presented, it makes you feel very much inside the world that you're in. It's also being done in every angle. So up, down, left, right, however you turn, you're seeing this. So in order to shoot this, it's actually very expensive. They can't just shoot straight. They have to capture everything around. So it's a 360 shot.
Wow. So they shoot 360 spot, and they, how do they, I guess they know how to put it together. So it's more than 360. It's like up and down as well. I mean, that's, so when I turn my
special
head.
Special cameras, machines to capture, edit, produce these. And one of the top production companies, directors, content creators will be there.
And they are actually making films for this, right? Like entertainment films.
Not yet. Right now they're very short because it's very expensive. But as time goes on, they'll get longer and longer.
Well, that's amazing. So if I'm wearing the goggles and I turn to the right, I will see what's to the right, or what's, if I turn around, I'll see what's behind me.
Yes, and you can walk towards it.
And then hold it, objects, or will it, was there
no,
a physicality?
Not the virtual reality. You can just walk towards it. There's nothing you can touch, clearly, because it'll, your hands are still in the studio you're in, so picking up an apple doesn't do anything. There are these new lenses that are, think of your, if you picked up your iPhone and that screen was in front of your eyes without it being on your glass, without it being on the glass of your iPhone, but now it's in front of you. So you can see that, and you can type an email, you can hit the link and it will do something. You can display actionable things in front of objects, and you can touch it, and you can turn it around, and you can look at it from different angles. You can say, I like that apple there, click on it, you can purchase. So the experience with the internet doesn't have to sit in the 2D screen that you have. It could be in the world around you.
Oh. Didn't they have something like that where it was projected in front through a projector? I guess that's the old, that was still a little old, right? Because the glasses.
Think of the Google Glass more advanced.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Yao? Oh,
yes.
No. So it's the Google Glass, but the, you know, they were having some negotiations. Like if you were wearing those glasses or maybe even this virtual reality, the facial recognition features were so fine that you could look at somebody and know a lot about them because of, will that be part of this? These virtual reality glasses, you look at somebody and you start a readout of their history.
So there's two kinds in the market right now. One that is content driven, and another that is more data feed driven. Right. So content driven is I'm watching a movie. Data driven is I'm surfing Google on the internet for information. So who said that you had to surf and touch a glass?
Right.
Why can't I just touch the air?
Amazing. This is really, really amazing. And will a lot of this be demonstrated April 19th?
Some of our conversation went a little left field, but there is quite a bit of our conversation at the event. And,
right.
And I'm leaving some surprises so that people can really get their mind blown.
Well, I'm excited about being there. I'm ready to get my mind blown because I think... No, only because I think as you present these new ideas, more creative possibilities are developed in people. So it stimulates new thought, which is what it's all about.
I talked to some people who came last year, and they have built companies as a result of the ideas that came out of that.
Really? I want to do that.
Go ahead. Absolutely.
No, this is very exciting. Actually, I would love to do can we do maybe after or before a television thing where we're come to the studio and we sit down and we talk about this and maybe show some of that? Are you around
sure.
after that?
Sure.
All right.
No problem.
Because are you kind of busy till the 19th? Is that it?
Quite a bit.
All right. I know it's a lot to pull this all together. So if people want to do this event, if there's still tickets, can they keep checking at Tribeca?
The best thing to do is, if it's sold out, just to jump on the wait list. We'll see if we can release some. Otherwise, at least it'll be the first batch for next year.
Oh, I see. And you plan a whole new future for next year, don't you?
Well, the future keeps moving forward, and there's a lot more cool things happening.
That's what George that's what George Bush said. The future isn't what it used to be.
That's a good quote.
No, I bet you're already contacting people for the future.
Not yet. Maybe in the summer.
Well, actually, I do want to introduce you to this nanoscientist who has some amazing technologies.
Sure.
Yeah, I think you really, this is right in alignment with the sort of stuff that you're researching and presenting to the public. Well, you have an amazing job finding the future and bringing it to people. I can't think of anything more exciting, really, really.
Thanks. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I'm happy that Tribeca has acknowledged this. I mean, how did you actually, you had a connection to Tribeca, right?
Yes, it's a meeting of great minds, I suppose.
Because aren't there conferences that are just, I mean, not conferences in general that are just dedicated to this kind of stuff, or there aren't really that happening
there
yet?
There aren't that many. A very popular one is Singularity.
Uh-huh, that's the Kurzweil. Right.
Yes. And
I think, yeah.
Ted,
I don't
does
buy
some of this
Kurzweil
too. You're familiar
stuff.
With Ted. You're familiar with TED Talks.
I love TED.
A lot of
yes.
cool things. Yes.
But something like this would be a great conference to just put together. Well, the people you have here, but also a lot of other people that would be, you know, wanting to share. I mean, of course, you'd have to check it out. But this level of the future. I think it would be a sellout. You could do like a 3-day conference like that, and people would just
seems
love
like
it.
You're brainstorming my future.
Exactly, I'll work with you on this. This is our future, Yao.
Goodness,
but this could be really popular. I mean, something like the Javits Center would just be, you know, perfect for this. Like, I just see so much possibility because I think creativity is exponentially on the rise.
Yes, I think the way people work and the thing to think about is definitely evolving.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm getting a signal that we have to wrap up,
okay.
But this has been very exciting. Thanks so much for spending some time. Do you want people to reach you, or you'd rather have them not reach you?
They can just go to the website. It's hatchery.vc, like venture capital. There's some information there. They can reach out through us that way.
Okay. All right. And I'm talking to Yao Wang, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wang means yellow, doesn't it? I studied
it does.
Chinese.
It's actually a very popular Chinese name.
It is. I study Chinese medicine. I'm actually an acupuncturist. But thank you so much. I'm going to be in touch with you anyway. And this is amazing conversation. TribecaFilm.com/festival/imagination. If you could be there, I definitely recommend it. Thank you, Yao Wang, for participating, for sharing this. And do you have any closing words?
Oh, I just really enjoyed everything you had to say. I'm like pretty blown away right now. So thank you so much. It's pretty incredible.
Great. Thank
That's
you.
That's my co-host, Jolene Starr. I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Look me up at YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities. Thanks for listening tonight. And hope to hear from you. Good night.
Good night.